Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's edition of Jump Right In, a production of 1111 Broadcasting. It has rained here in the sunny state of Florida all day long. Those poor diehard Daytona race fans, but that's the price of such devotion, the good with the bad, the good with the bad. This is Splash, and my pond is open. We had a great show last night. We saw Ruth Bader Ginsburg for the cute little wino that she is. We got into a comparison between how the Elmos should move forward in Congress like they did with the Keystone Pipeline and how they should not move forward as they are now with the DHS funding bill, especially when it comes to a do-or-die 2016 race for the White House. We also talked about George W. Bush, of all people, jumping into the mix over the battle with ISIS and how our own intelligence community never saw the disintegration of Yemen coming. Lots of good stuff in last night's episode of Jump Right In. So if you missed it, go to our blog, 1111broadcasting.com, and listen to the archived podcast. Of course, you can check out any past episode of Jump Right in its entirety at our blog site, 1111broadcasting.com. Like us on Facebook at 1111broadcasting, and you can even listen to a show right there on our Facebook page. Tonight, we will talk about Elizabeth Warren. Is she turning to the dark side? Giving in to political shenanigans to which all politicians ultimately cave, we'll explore that. We are also going to talk about Obama's wholesale purchase of the Latino vote. I promised to tell you why Latinos vote Smurf to the tune of 70%, and I'll do that tonight. In addition, why are so many U.S. citizens calling it quits on this great country? Well over 3,000 people, almost 3,500 people, turned in their papers last year alone, and that is certainly something worth talking about, and so we shall. Anyway, so much to cover, so little time. The number to call, 215-383-5730. That's 215-383-5730. And I encourage you to jump right in, wade carefully if you must. But remember, in my pond, everyone swims at their own risk. We'll be here for the next hour doing the thing I love to do most, talking smack about politics. And if you want to chime in, just give us a call. I promise not to bite. If I do, I promise that you'll enjoy it. Now, you can jump right into the show chat room tonight. You'll need a free login from Blog Talk Radio. It takes less than a minute. Put in your email address, pick a screen name, a password, and voila, you can jump right into the chat room, pick on people, even just pick on me. Now, if you want to participate in the show, put your stamp on tonight's episode, then by all means, wade into my pond. Dial the number right there at the top of your show page, 215-383-5730. That's 215-383-5730. I would love to talk to you. Put me to the test. It'll be your time to shine. Now, before we get into tonight's show, let me tell you about Choice Mattress and Furniture. When it comes to mattresses and bedding, David Ritter and the staff at Choice Mattress and Furniture know my family to Choice Mattress, and everything was considered from our weight to our height, our age, even the way each of us sleeps. The right mattress was personally selected for each of us. Now my whole family sleeps in great comfort all night long on beds from Choice Mattress, and yours can too. Every mattress carried by Choice Mattress comes with a 5, 10, or even 15-year 100% full replacement warranty, not a prorated limited warranty like those other stores. Chances are, if you bought a bed in the Daytona Beach area in the last 20 years, then you bought it from David. With over 20 years of experience, David knows beds, and you should see all the other fine lines of furniture Choice Mattress has for every room in your home. Go see David and the fine folks at Choice Mattress and Furniture, located on the corner of LPGA and Nova Road at 1501 North Nova Road in Holly Hill. If you want to give them a call and ask a few questions first, give the number to dial to 386-226-BEDS. That's 386-226-2337. Choice Mattress, simply the best choice you can make in your sleep. Of course, the number to dial if you want to be on the show tonight, 215-383-5730. That's 215-383-5730. 5730. I would certainly love to talk to you. Now, during the show on my birthday back in January, I talked about the possible chinks that I was seeing, observing, noticing in Liz Warren's middle-class champion armor. I have often said that I love this woman, and I still do. She is everything most other Smurfs pretend to be, but I could not understand how, in her takedown of Big Pharma, that she would not point the finger at the man who made it all possible, Obama himself. It was Obama that crawled into bed with Big Pharma right after he became president, as well as with big insurance and big health providers, to tailor the unaffordable I Don't Give a Shit Act to benefit these big players while saying that the law was actually for us middle-classers, most of whom already had insurance. Why would she not point this out? After all, wasn't it Obama that wouldn't even nominate her to head the new Consumer Protection Agency that she brought into existence? And all because Obama and Geithner said she was too hard on banks? Of course, she did sabotage Obama's nomination of Antonio Weiss as third man at the Treasury, did she not? So why not go all out on Obama and expose why Big Pharma is getting away with what she calls legal legalities? After all, it was Obama's unaffordable I Don't Give a Shit Act that made it possible for Pharma to capitalize on these actions. If you want to know what those actions are, then go to the January 26th archive show of our at our blog, 1111broadcasting.com. The title you'll be looking for is Eeny, Meeny, Miny Drone. And there's a picture of the drone that landed on the White House lawn, or crash landed, I should say, on the White House lawn. That's the January 26th episode there at 1111broadcasting.com. So I recognize that there are some chinks in Liz's armor, and of course nobody's perfect, but if she doesn't, if she didn't get her act together, then she would slowly but surely become like all of the rest of them that turn to the dark side. Now there's another story coming from Politico, Elizabeth Warren's standing as a liberal warrior immune to the influences of big business has stopped her from pushing the interests of a major defense contract, has not stopped her from pushing the interests of major defense contractors back home in Massachusetts. Warren has fought to stop the Army from shifting funds away from Massachusetts-built communications networks to pay for unanticipated costs associated with the war in Afghanistan. She lobbied for problem-plagued General Dynamics made tactical radios, and she pledged to protect Westover Air Reserve Base from the budget acts, all while saying that she supports targeted cuts elsewhere. Take it away from some other states, not the state where my voters are. So far, I really don't see anything wrong with this. It's a delicate dance in the state where defense giant Raytheon is one of the largest employers and brings in billions of dollars each year in federal contracts. The freshman Democrat from Massachusetts insists she's not running for president despite a movement to draft her. But if she did and took on frontrunner Hillary Clinton, she'd likely face scrutiny over the way she's balanced her populist views with her sometimes penchant for pursuing the well-worn practice of pork barrel politics. Uh-oh. Chink, chink, chink. Of course, there still needs to be a flow of money in order to call Liz a bought and paid for politician, just like the rest of them. If she is lobbying for these things, but they're not, and she's not asking them for money, and they're not showering her with money in order to do so, then I still find her to be on the straight and narrow. Warren didn't respond to questions as she walked to a vote in the Capitol, and an aide referred Politico to the senator's spokesperson, Lacey Rose, who also didn't respond to repeated requests for comments. Tell me that doesn't sound like the rest of the politicians when they're being asked uncomfortable questions. But the half dozen industry insiders who were interviewed painted a picture of a senator who's willing to advocate for local defense firms but has no relationship with the industry on a national level. And that is different. And no one has yet to show me that flow of money into her campaign coffers or into support for any of her agenda priorities. Now, Joseph Donovan, a Boston-based defense lobbyist with Nelson, Mullins, Riley, and Scarborough, and a former aide to then-Governor Mitt Romney, said, "I have seen the senator and her team take a very active role in defense matters in Massachusetts. I've been to roundtables that her office has organized with major defense contractors and small businesses." One local defense executive noted that it's no secret that the industry in 2012 backed Warren's Republican opponent, Army National Guard veteran Scott Brown, explaining that Brown's seat on the Senate Armed Services Committee gave him a big platform to advocate for home state contractors. And that is true that Liz doesn't have that platform, but then again, neither does Brown anymore. And so Liz is one of two senators in Massachusetts that defense contractors need to have in their corner. But the executive said that Warren's made an effort to reach out to defense companies, including visits to Raytheon and General Dynamics facilities in her state, and that there's certainly not an impression that she's adversarial to big-name contracting firms. The folks that work in our industry are just as much her constituents as anyone else, and that's absolutely true. So maybe Warren is laying the groundwork for a quid pro quo. After all, she isn't running for president, and she's not up for re-election as senator until 2018. Now, Raytheon, which is headquartered in Massachusetts, has a positive relationship with Senator Warren and interact with her and her staff regularly. In her first year in the Senate, Warren joined other members of the Massachusetts delegation in fighting proposed cuts to the Army's Warfighter Information Network Tactical Program, a battlefield communication network known as WIN-T, that the Government Accountability Office has cited as cited for having unplanned cost increases and performance deficiencies. Now, the Pentagon was seeking to shift $128 million away from that program to pay for Afghanistan war costs, a reprogramming request that was blocked by congressional defense panels following a lobbying campaign orchestrated by General Dynamics. Now, Warren, her support was critical to that program, Donovan said. So why would Warren support a program experiencing unplanned cost increases to the taxpayers and performance deficiencies where the taxpayer doesn't get the proper bang for the buck? Another defense executive told Politico at the time that her advocacy for WIN-T was a big deal, even given the fact that the industry was skeptical of her commitment to helping out home state defense firms. It was a very good step in the right direction, said the executive, also requesting an anonymity to offer his candid thoughts on the senator. Always with the anonymity. You know, the defense contractor is calling it a very good step in the right direction. Maybe, again, I'm getting a feel for that Liz is laying some groundwork here. Anyway, General Dynamics spokesperson Lucy Ryan said Warren has supported programs that are important to the company, pointing to WIN-T and the littoral combat ship, which has suppliers in the state. Warren has also lobbied for another GD program, General Dynamics program, Army Manpack Radios. Now, this is a big one because in 2013 letter to Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, she and then Senator Mo Cowan, a fellow Democrat from Massachusetts, said that the radios represent technology and acquisition success stories, despite the poor grades they've received in combat tests and a controversial acquisition strategy that allowed just two vendors during the low-rate production stage. Look at that, General Dynamics and Rockwell Collins. Nonetheless, Warren and Cowan touted the program's dual manufacturing strategy that ensures that competition and flexibility are built into the program but the strategy actually restricted competition. And Pentagon leaders pressured the Army to revise it last year to allow more than just two companies to compete during the full rate production stage. Now, the Pentagon's, it does, I mean, it does give you a little bit of an appearance of favoritism there. The Pentagon's chief weapons tester, in a report delivered to Congress last year, found that the long-troubled radios not operationally suitable, and yet Warren was defending them. Of course, on a national level, Warren has very little involvement in the defense industry. I don't think she's even on our radar, said one Washington-based defense lobbyist. In my meetings with all my major defense clients, her name just doesn't come up. Now, during the 2012 election, defense firms contributed more than $366,000 to Brown through their political action committees and employees, making him the top Senate recipient of industry dollars that cycle, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Now, Warren's campaign got a tiny fraction of that from the industry, but she was the challenger, and that was then, and this is now. And her campaign and leadership pack has received very few defense industry contributions since then, according to data filed with the Federal Elections Commission, something that's not unusual for a senator who's not up for re-election and doesn't have any defense-related committee assignments. Once again, maybe she's laying the groundwork. We just have to wait and see on that. But for Warren, the tension between her populist views and the need for her state extends to other areas as well. The senator, long a staunch advocate for stronger financial regulations, has faced stinging criticism for pushing proposals viewed as giveaways to the medical device industry, which has a big presence in Massachusetts. She's spoken out against the new Obamacare tax on medical devices that's been targeted by Republicans, you well know. But where's the trail of money? Are they paying her for this advocacy, or is she just against the medical device tax like so many other Smurfs and Elmos are? Warren is also an advocate for Massachusetts military bases, something many members of Congress do for their local installations, regardless of their views or their party or their contributions or anything. Warren has visited Westover Air Force Base and on other Massachusetts facilities and has vowed to protect Westover from defense budget cuts. This comes amid an effort by the Pentagon to close excess domestic military bases, a plan that's been repeatedly rejected by Congress but has spurred states to invest in renovation projects to make sure their military base would be well-positioned to survive future rounds of base closures. The Massachusetts helps keep our country safe, Warren said in a 2013 op-ed in the Taunton Daily Gazette. The work that goes on at bases and by defense contractors throughout the Commonwealth is a great example of how investment in research and development can help ensure our nation's military is ready and able to meet current and emerging needs while also supporting our state's economy. And there's the reason. That's why she's supporting this. She is helping keep our country safe by supporting military contractors and preventing base closures in her state that also employ thousands of middle-classers and support the Massachusetts economy. I am not sure that there's anything wrong with that, unless someone can show me the trail of money that is being paid, that they're paying her to do these things in the forms of campaign contributions, then this is what a duly elected senator is supposed to do, right? Defense spending, she added, should always align with our strategic priorities. Well, I don't know if a long troubled radios not operationally suitable line up with our strategic priorities. At least I hope they don't. But at best, Liz is possibly laying groundwork for future campaign requests, and we'll just have to wait and see on that one. In the meantime, I can find no trail of money to these industries that typically run counter to Smurf ideology. So maybe, just maybe, if you Smurfs get your act together and in gear and successfully recruit Warren to run for president, then maybe, just maybe, we will have a president that isn't beholden to big money like Obama. or Hillary, or Debbie Blubbermouth Schultz. Hey, listen, if Blubbermouth can even consider running for Senate here in my state of Florida, then certainly Liz can run for president. And then there's this whole purchase of votes in mass thing that we've got going on here. Last night, I was talking about the Department of Homeland Security bill and the funding bill and how it was bogging down the Senate because the Elmos insist on attaching riders to roll back Obama's amnesty order. And the Smurfs will have, of course, none of it. Even today, Boehner said that that the House will not pass a bill without the riders, so the Senate has to step up and pass the House version of the bill. Some are saying that there is a chance that the Elmos will soften a bit now that the Texas court has placed an injunction on Obama's immigration order. Who knows what will happen there? Anyway, at one point in the discussion, I said, Latinos vote Smurf not because they are willing to let their illegal brethren stay here, but because it showers their households in which these illegals live with tax credits. It is a cultural thing with the Latino community, and I promised to get to that later because I wanted to stay on point. And that point was that the Elmos were being boneheaded about the DHS funding bill. Even the polls are saying that what I said just the other night on last night's show, that the Elmos get the blame for shutdowns when they're in the minority, and the Elmos get the blame for the shutdowns when they are in the majority. Anyway, I promised that I would get to the reason why Latinos vote for Smurfs to the tune of 70%, and that day is today. You would think it is because Smurfs want to let their fellow Latinos that are illegal stay here in the U.S., but that's not it. That may be a small part of it, but that's only a small part. Here's the rest. From the AP, millions of immigrants benefiting from Barack Obama's executive action. Now, these are illegal aliens. They are the only ones that are benefiting from the president's executive actions. Millions of illegal immigrants would get a windfall from the IRS, a reversal of fortune after years of paying taxes to help fund government programs that they were banned from receiving. Now, wait a second. They were not paying income taxes, okay? Just so you all know. I thought that they were in the shadows, hiding, lurking, waiting for the day that the Smurfs would say, it's okay, that they can come out and now, that the Wicked Witch is gone. What taxes have they been paying that would have led us right to them? Nonsense. I call bullshit on that. However, they could get a windfall from government programs that they were banned from receiving. Did you get that? That they were banned from receiving. Although it is true that illegal aliens don't benefit from government programs, it is untrue that they weren't already benefiting from government programs. It's illegal for them to do it, but that doesn't mean they don't do it. All they did was declare themselves homeless instead of undocumented. And then they qualify for 16 different government programs. And government workers are not allowed to profile, so they cannot ask them what their status is if they declare themselves homeless. But those aren't the different programs that they will be benefiting from because of Obama and his amnesty order. Oh, no. These are different programs because they become eligible because of Obama's unilateral amnesty program. Armed, and this is the right word, folks, armed, since this is an invasion of our country in every sense of the word, armed with the new Social Security numbers. Many of these immigrants who were living in the U.S. illegally will now be able to claim up to 4 years' worth of tax credits designed to benefit the working poor. For big families, remember those words, big families, because that's key here. For big families, that's a maximum of nearly $24,000 as long as they can document their earnings during those years. And don't think for a second they can't document them, folks, because I'm going to tell you how they do it. Some of the Republicans are labeling these payments as amnesty bonuses. One more reason they oppose Obama's program shielding millions of immigrants from deportation. Well, isn't that what this executive action is? amnesty? And isn't that what these payments are? Bonuses? Amnesty bonuses. Makes perfect sense to me. I represent hardworking, law-abiding Texans, said Representative Sam Johnson, a senior Republican on the House Ways and Means Committee. I think these amnesty rewards, and that's what they are, need to be stopped. Advocates argue that many of these immigrants pay taxes, so they should be able to claim the same tax credits as anybody else. Over the past decade, immigrants in the U.S. illegally have paid an estimate $100 billion in Social Security payroll taxes, even though few will ever be able to collect benefits, said Stephen Gross, Social Security's chief actuary. That's because employers can't get away without paying Social Security taxes. FICA. This is outrageous. Where is the data that they paid income taxes? Filing an income tax return is what qualifies a U.S. citizen for tax credits under the tax code. U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens. Obama has issued executive order shielding about 4 million people, as you know, 4 million immigrants from deportation. Some were brought to the U.S. as children. Others are parents of children who are either U.S. citizens or legal residents. These parents of are the ones that will qualify for these amnesty bonuses. Republicans in Congress oppose Obama's actions and are trying to use a funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security to overturn them. Democrats are resisting, resulting in a stalemate that has threatened to shut down the department. Now, suddenly, the DHS funding bill that the Smurfs are filibustering takes on a whole new light. They are protecting, the Smurfs are protecting their out-and-out wholesale purchase of votes that they just made. Plain and simple. But splash, these newly protected illegals still can't vote. How is this a voter purchase? I'm so glad you asked. Just keep listening. Funding for the department which oversees immigration enforcement. So you cannot even say, like the Democrats have been trying to say, like the Smurfs have been trying to say, you cannot even say these two issues are not linked, are not related. If the rollback of Obama's amnesty plan belongs in any bill, it belongs in the DH funding bill. Anyway, the funding runs out on February 27th, as everyone knows. The dispute over tax credits illustrates the complicated relationship that many immigrants have with the U.S. tax system. Social Security estimates that immigrants living in the country illegally worked at about the same rate as the rest of the population, even though federal law bars them from employment. In general, they are less likely to pay federal taxes. Those who do have been boosting Social Security's finances for years. Now, how does Social Security know when it receives taxes from immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally? There's no foolproof method, Goss said. But one way is by tracking reported wages in which Social Security number does not match the name that the agency has on file. In other words, these illegal immigrants, now armed with new legitimate Social Security numbers, were using phony Social Security numbers so they could work. Thus, FICA was being taken from their pay by their employers and passed on to the federal government. That's key, because in order to pass on FICA taxes to the federal government, you have to keep track. You have to document it. And that's how these people are going to document the last 4 years of their income, so that they can now file income tax returns retroactively for 4 years and get these amnesty bonuses. Now, folks, remember, no U.S. citizen ever gets a refund of any Social Security or Medicare taxes that they pay. So for the Smurfs to say that these guys have been paying taxes all along because of the FICA taxes being taken out of their checks, so they are entitled to these tax credits from income tax returns, that is a straw man's argument. That's no reason for these newly protected illegal immigrants armed with new Social Security numbers. That's not a reason why they should now qualify for any tax credits under the federal income tax code. This is outrageous. Some of these are clerical errors, meaning the duped Social Security numbers. There are clerical errors are unreported name changes. But Goss estimates that the majority of these wages come from immigrants who have made up Social Security numbers or used someone else's. The numbers are huge. From 2003 to 2012, the total was nearly $750 billion in wages. That's $75 billion a year. Tellingly, only 7% of these wages are ever claimed and credited to an actual worker. That's because they didn't file a federal income tax return. There are an estimated 11 to 12 million immigrants in the U.S. illegally. By law, you must have a Social Security number to work in the U.S., but millions of people worked without them. Some worked in underground economies and do not report their income to the government. For those who work and pay federal income tax, the IRS provides them with an individual tax identification number, an ITIN. Individual taxpayer identification number. Did you hear that? Not supposed to work without a Social Security number, but the IRS furnished them with a way to file their income tax return even though they were not supposed to even be working. They gave them the individual taxpayer identification number, incidentally, through which many of them received earned income tax credit and child tax credits, which they weren't entitled to and they weren't even supposed to get. This is madness. Since 1996, the IRS has issued 21 million of these numbers. About one quarter of them are still in use, the agency says. And so 11 to 12 million illegals, a third of them must be children. Many adults work under the table, and yet we've issued 21 million such numbers. And here's my favorite part. The IRS accepts these tax returns without reporting the taxpayers to immigration authorities. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen said, that encourages the workers to pay taxes. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Our own government, helping our own government avoid our own government. Did I say this is madness? Did I say it was outrageous? But that is not all, said the Cat in the Hat. No, 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 that's not all. They actually justify it. We don't enforce Social Security laws. We don't enforce immigration laws, Koskinen said of the agency. In fact, the reason illegal immigrants file taxes with us is they know that we're not going to share this data with anybody else. We treat it as taxpayer-protected information. Folks, agencies, government agencies share information with each other all the time. That's how they nab people, cross-referencing. This is absolutely absurd. Yeah, are they rushing to pay their taxes because they know they won't be reported? They're not rushing because they owe a tax. They're rushing because they want the tax credits. They want the money in their pockets. But splash, 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 they're illegal aliens. They can't vote. How is this a mass voter purchase of Latinos if these people they're giving money to can't vote? Hold that thought, folks, because I'm getting there. They can claim some federal tax breaks if they file a tax return, which they do with the individual taxpayer identification number that the IRS gives them, pulling them aside and saying, shh, I won't tell if you won't tell. But until now, they were not eligible for Social Security, Medicare, or earned income tax credits, one of the government's largest anti-poverty programs. Obama's executive action will offer Social Security numbers to these immigrants, something which eventually could make them eligible for Social Security and Medicare. For Social Security, you generally have to work and pay payroll taxes for 10 years before you qualify for retirement benefits. Forget the Social Security and Medicare benefits. These people don't think that long term. That is not the payoff. Here is the payoff, the earned income tax credit. That is the payoff. That is what will amount to up to $24,000 in the four-year retroactive filings as long as these illegal immigrants can document their income from those 4 years. And guess what? the employers withheld FICA from their income because they were required to do so by law, so they documented even if they never filed an income tax return. Now, how many of these Latinos, that just got amnesty from Obama, temporary, whatever you want to call it, they're safe, and they're going to get a new Social Security number, how many of them do you think will spend a few hours, maybe even a few days, going to their old employers to get this documentation so they can get $24,000? How many of you would do that? Once the immigrants in Obama's program get their Social Security numbers, they can file tax returns claiming the earned income tax credit as long as they meet the income requirements and can document their earnings. There's more. They also can file amended tax returns for up to 3 years after they were due. And any American citizen can do that. If you didn't file your taxes 2 or 3 years ago, you can go back and file them. You can do it for up to 3 years. If it gets older than that, you're no longer entitled to it, even though they can audit you from decades ago. The maximum, that's the retroactive part. So they can go back as far as 2011 at this point. The maximum credit for families with 3 or more children is about $6,000. So some families could get as much as $24,000 in credits. Kosigan said these tax returns would be processed just like any other. You have to do the same thing any taxpayer would do, which is you're going to have to file a return, say this is what I earned, and these are my expenses, deductions, whatever it may be, Kosigan said. Now, you have to have the supporting documentation. There's just one minor difference. Before today, they were illegal. Of course, thanks to a Texas court, that's been delayed. But some in Congress are outraged. That just boggled my mind. Some in Congress are outraged. They should all be outraged, but they're not, and with good reason. The administration may have blown open the doors for fraud with amnesty bonuses of more than $24,000 to those who receive deferred action, said Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska. This program severely undermines the White House's lip service to enforcing the law and would increase the burden on law-abiding taxpayers. You couldn't be more right on, Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska. Advocates for the immigrants say that if these workers are paying taxes, they should get the same benefits as other taxpayers. Yeah. Well, these people, whomever they are big, slimy, fucking boneheads. Listen to them as they try to say that these illegals that should not even be here deserve it. They should get the same benefits as other taxpayers. Oh, you mean those U.S. citizens? Yeah, them. Isn't that the liberal mentality, though, that these people are entitled? Let's not forget that these workers receive the lowest wages for what they contribute to their communities and their local economies, said Ellen Sittenfeld Bastitelli, policy analyst for the National Immigration Law Center. What do we as a nation gain by further impoverishing them? Now they're victims. Listen, here's what you do. You point them back to Mexico, where they will be even more impoverished. There is a reason they came here, and the idiocy displayed in this article is one of them. They can cross our borders, they can stay here, and if they hide out long enough, somebody like Obama is going to give them amnesty and hand them a check for $24,000. But splash, splash, splash. They're still illegal. They can't vote. So how is this a wholesale purchase of the Latino vote by Obama and the Smurfs? Oh, yeah. I'm glad you reminded me. This is all about culture, folks. I used to live in a little town in Florida called Pearson. It was the fern capital of the world. Fern goes all over the country from this little itty-bitty town. Without giving you a ton of details here, I had a lot of contact with Mexican culture. Now, mind you, little bitty town, but just square miles of fernery being worked under this screen, black screen that you put on a porch, but it's called Saran, that covers and protects it all from the sun. Otherwise, I got to use tree cover, and that's not nearly as effective. Anyway, without giving you a lot of detail, I had a lot of contact with the Mexican culture. They lived just like they were used to living in Mexico. Huge families stuffed into small living quarters. Once I knew a family of 12 crammed into a 55-foot single-wide mobile home. Here in the U.S., many of them told me the houses are bigger, they're nicer, they have more amenities than in Mexico. Many houses in Mexico didn't even have running water or plumbing. Where do you think these illegals live when they come here? That's right, with the legal families to whom they belong, all crammed into the same dwelling. Cost per person is so minuscule, and income coming into the household increases dramatically the more people they cram into a dwelling. They are used to this way of life. It is how they have survived. So now here comes Obama and the illegals living with the legal Mexican Americans are going to get a Social Security number and money. The legal Mexican American citizens of the U.S. are going to benefit from this found money because it's coming right into their house and they vote. And their votes are now purchased and belong to the party of the Smurf. And that is why Latinos vote for Smurfs to the tune of 70%+. Without the payoff, without those numbers from the IRS before, and without the being armed with a brand new Social Security number, the fact that they can stay here is a burden, not a benefit. It is shameful. Selling your vote is illegal in this country, and yet our political leaders purchase votes en masse all the time by giving our money to those who should not get it and don't deserve it. They are not entitled, and they shouldn't even be here. Now, you know, it always amazes me how people were so willing to sell their most precious right as an American, their vote, for mere trinkets. But it isn't mere trinkets anymore. $24,000 per large family is not chump change. That's like giving a brand new car to every large family that crosses our border illegally. Go ahead and soup it up. Put those mag wheels on it. Make it so you can pump it up, put it down, put those big speakers in it so everybody feels it as it goes by. If you take 5 million families and divide them into 500,000 large families of 10 people each and gave each family $24,000, that's $12 billion windfall for filing for those 4 years. $12 billion. And then $3 billion a year forever, every year from here on out. Just in earned income tax credit, not including all the other credits that illegal aliens get and all the other benefits they take advantage of when they declare themselves homeless instead of undocumented. But you know what? They don't have to declare themselves undocumented anymore, do they? These vote purchases are getting more and more expensive, aren't they? And they're not mere trinkets anymore, are they? And where does that get us? Well, I'll tell you that in just a moment, but first, let me remind you that when it comes to mattresses and bedding, David Ritter and the staff at Choice Mattress and Furniture know their stuff. My whole family is now sleeping in beds from Choice Mattress, and you cannot say enough about the benefits of a great night's sleep on the right mattress chosen especially for you. Every mattress carried by Choice Mattress comes with a 5, 10, or even 15-year, 100% full replacement warranty, not the prorated limited warranty like these other stores. With over 20 years of experience, David knows beds. And make sure you check out all the other fine lines of furniture Choice Mattress has for every room in your home. Go see David and the fine folks at Choice Mattress and Furniture, located at 1501 North Nova Road in Holly Hill. That's on the corner of LPGA and Nova Road. And you can always give them a call at 386-226-BEDS. That's 386-226-2337. Choice Mattress. Simply the best choice that you can make in your sleep. Here's the thing about our tax code. It does seem to benefit, as we just talked about, illegal aliens who shouldn't even be here. You know, they're here. They're illegal. But American citizens who live overseas now have been renouncing their U.S. citizenship in record numbers over the past several years. In 2014, nearly 3,500 people bid a permanent adieu to the States. The year before that, about 3,000 did exactly the same thing. Now, this doesn't mean that these people have been living overseas indefinitely. Okay, they might have just moved there. They might have decided to move there and then renounce it. But 3,500 people this year alone, 3,000 last year. It's believed that for many, a combination of taxation and banking issues has made retaining their U.S. citizenship while living and working abroad undesirable. For some time, it has been required that Americans earning their paycheck in other countries pay income taxes in both nations. What they reported and filed wasn't historically a matter of overwhelming international concern. The matter has been complicated, however, in recent years by a greater scrutiny being placed on who is paying what to whom and where that money is being kept. An initiative called the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. Now, that's called FATCA. Almost like fat cat. They just needed one more word. But foreign requires that the world's banks alert the U.S. if any of its citizens have an account holding over $50,000. Now, keep in mind here, this is a U.S. law that is ordering world banks to alert the U.S. if any of its citizens have an account holding over $50,000. That's amazing that our laws can apply to other banks out there in the world, but you would be amazed to see what the punishment is for this, and we'll get to that in just a moment, because you know Obama, he loves force, he loves mandates, he loves his club right over the head. So it also calls for a reporting of Americans' clients' income to the IRS. So it reports the amount that's in your bank accounts over $50,000. Also, it calls for a reporting of Americans' clients' income to the IRS. Now, though the act was intended to catch wealthy Americans stashing money in offshore accounts, who totally avoid this law, I can assure you, it has affected 7.5 million Americans employed abroad. So in other words, you go from here, you go to there, and boom, you're affected by this law, even though you're not rich, even though you're not making a lot of money. For thousands, it's believed the government measures simply create far too large a hassle. And how does such a beast like FATCA that costs us citizens, how does it become law? Why, by cramming it into a bill called the 2010 Hiring Incentives to Restore Employment Act. Hire. So they stuck this undesirable bill into a bill called Hire. How can anybody stand against Hire? That's how these things happen, folks. Hire did a lot of things which most politicians would not object to. Employers were eligible for a payroll tax credit when the employer hired certain new employees after February 3rd, 2010 and before January 1st, 2011. So it had like a one-year window, not quite. In order to take the payroll tax credit, the employee must have either been unemployed for at least 60 days prior to hire or worked fewer than 40 hours for another employer during the previous 60 days. So in other words, if they left this job for that one and they averaged 39 hours or less, they got a tax break on the payroll taxes for that employee. Employers do not have to pay the employer portion of the Social Security tax, which is 6.2% on the wages paid to these eligible new hires. No Social Security tax on those wages. I don't know how they worked out crediting that, but anyway, in addition, employers receive a general business income tax break if the employer continues to employ the new hire for at least 52 weeks. The tax break is the lesser of $1,000 or 6.2% of the wages of the new employee during the 52-week period, whichever is less. Now, household employers are ineligible. Household employees and employers are ineligible for both tax benefits, as are new employees who are related to the employer. Also ineligible are employees who earn more than $106,000 per year and employees who displace a current employee unless the first employee resigned or was terminated. So there were some exemptions. Now, the employer may claim the credit after the eligible employee signs a statement affirming their previous unemployed status. It's a form W-11. Boy, all you got to do is sign a form, that's it. Unrelated to hiring, the Act also extended a $250,000 deduction limit under the Internal Revenue Code through 2010. It also authorized $20 billion for highway and transit projects. That makes reform, and it makes also reforms to municipal bonds. Now, to offset the cost of the Act, that's when they crammed in this Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, the FATCA, enacted Chapter 4 of it. It makes other modifications, of course. It requires foreign banks. These are the penalties, folks. It requires foreign banks to find any American, to find, requires, not just if you find out about it, but it requires foreign banks to find any American account holders and disclose their balances, receipts, and withdrawals to the U.S. To the IRS, or the bank is subject to a 30% withholding tax on income from U.S. financial assets held by the banks. Now, unless, of course, you stop taking American money, which is exactly what some of these foreign banks did. They said, to hell with you. Owners of these foreign-held assets, that's the people who own the bank account, must report them on a U.S. tax return if they are worth more than $50,000, and those who do not would be subject to a 30% penalty on the balance of the account in question. Unless, of course, you renounce your citizenship. FATCA also closes a tax loophole that investors had used to avoid paying any taxes on dividends by converting them into dividend equivalents. Unless, of course, you renounce your citizenship. As a result of FATCA, European banks such as the Deutsche Bank, Commerce Bank, HSBC, that's China's bank, and Credit Suisse have been closing brokerage accounts for all U.S. customers since early 2011, citing onerous U.S. regulations with FATCA will make more complex when it goes into effect in 2013. So, not only are we over-regulating our own country, now we apparently are over-regulating other countries' financial institutions. This is really something, folks. I mean, we don't want to talk about overreach, but that's how this bill came into being. It was supposed to get fat cats. It ended up giving 7.5 million people who were mere U.S. citizens who were merely employed overseas. So when you look at this law, which was sold as a jobs bill, because it did encourage the hiring of currently unemployed people, how can we know why any representative or senator voted for or against this law with all the other things that were crammed into it? Furthermore, why is this bill, with totally unrelated issues crammed inside it, any different than putting the riders to defund Obama's amnesty in the DHS funding bill? Immigration is more linked to DHS funding than tax policy is to job creation. More importantly, rearing its ugly head once again is those two words that combined together have caused us more problems than we could possibly stand. Unintended consequences of our greedy, grubby government hard at work. What will it take for the U.S. to learn that every time we raise taxes, we lose businesses, jobs, and now citizens? Incidentally, citizens renounced their citizenship under Bush. That only averaged about 300 per year in 2005 through 2007. The increase under Obama is positively stunning, more than 10 times the amount it has multiplied by. And it all started with this shitty law, FATCA, crammed into a seemingly good bill or law, higher, passed by an overwhelmingly smurf government in March of 2010. Well, that's a wrap for tonight's show, folks. And my pond will reopen again Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to take tomorrow night off. Check the website to see what's up for Thursday's show, 1111broadcasting.com. And I hope you'll join us. And until Thursday night, do what you love and love what you do. Good night, everybody.